Do you know that there is only one God in three eternal persons, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit? Do you know that Jesus said He is the only way to heaven, and His death and resurrection bring forgiveness of sins to all who believe? Welcome to the Pastor Study, a ministry of pastorstudy.org. Join us now as we study God's Word, the Bible, together.
Welcome to the Pastor Study, and Happy New Year, everybody. This is the first program of the new year, so I thought I would preach on this. Does this remind you of a certain movie scene? Wow, my pretty, Toto's got this long to live. Well, not to be morbid, the truth is every one of us has only a certain number of minutes to live. So I thought we should preach on growing old biblically. And my question for you is, are you growing old bitterly or biblically? I mean, it's easy to get bitter as you get old because, you know, your body starts falling apart or life becomes disappointing in many ways. And I had this shoulder replaced 3 years ago. I just had this shoulder replaced. I now got a bit of a limp in my knee. And I'm not liking this. But what I want us to study today is, how do you grow older biblically and enjoy God in life no matter what's falling apart? To answer that question, we're going to look at old Simeon and old Anna in Luke chapter 2. So would you take out your Bible, turn to Luke chapter 2, and let us learn how to grow older biblically. Let's pray. Father, we pray now that your Holy Spirit would speak to us as we look at this story of when the baby Jesus came into the temple and two old people showed up. Lord, help us be Simeon. Help us be Anna. And God, help us age biblically. We ask this for your glory and for our good. In Jesus' name, amen. Luke chapter 2. The little baby Jesus is being brought into the temple, and we read verse 25, Luke 2, 25. And behold, there was in Jerusalem a man whose name was Simeon, and this man was righteous and devout, looking for the consolation or the comfort of Israel, the Messiah, and the Holy Spirit was upon him. First lesson we get today about growing older biblically, center your old age on the Savior. Simeon was just waiting for the Savior to show up. You know, whether you're 8, 18, or 88, is your life right now centered on the Savior? Verse 26. And it had been revealed to Simeon by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. And there's this, the second lesson. Listen to the Holy Spirit. Now, we don't know how the Holy Spirit told Simeon, you're not going to die till you see the baby Jesus. You know, maybe God gave him a dream. Maybe Simeon, some passage in his Old Testament stood out to him. But, you know, make sure you are listening to the Holy Spirit. And the main way the Holy Spirit speaks to us is when you open this book and read your Bible daily. Verse 27, and Simeon came in the Spirit into the temple. And when the parents, Joseph and Mary, brought in the child Jesus to carry out for him the custom of the law. Here's the next lesson. There are no coincidences. I never say good luck anymore. I don't believe in luck. I believe in what is called providence, that God controls everything, even details, even who happens to walk into the temple when old Simeon happens to be walking in the temple to fulfill what God had promised to Simeon. There are no accidents. There are no coincidences. I'll tell you what I thought of. Many years ago, my sister from Omaha was going to come to Minneapolis, and she wanted to have dinner. So I said, sure. And I drove way across town to a hotel I'd never been at to have dinner with my sister. And I get there, and who's at this hotel but a man from my church with a woman who wasn't his wife. And he and I locked eyeballs. Do You think that was a coincidence? I think that was God putting the pastor in his face. See, there, old Simeon just happens to walk into the temple when Mary and Joseph, I mean, there are no coincidences. Verse 28. And Simeon took Jesus, the baby Jesus, into his arms, and he blessed God, and he said, "Now, Lord, let your servant depart in peace, in according to your word." Here's the next lesson. Simeon was ready to die. God, you kept your promise. I've seen the Savior. Okay, let's go. One commentator said this, Simeon was delivered from fear of death by the child Jesus. He cannot desire to see anything greater on earth. He has seen the sacrifice for sin in his arms. He is now sure of eternal life. Why then should he desire to remain any longer on earth? So let me ask you the big question. Are you ready to die? I mean, it can happen 10 years from now, or it could happen tonight when this runs out. You just don't know. Are you right now ready to die? Here's a little girl that used to skip through the graveyard every day on her way home from school. And one day she's coming home, and an elderly gentleman just saw her do this and said, he stopped her and he said, "Little girl, this is a big graveyard. Aren't you afraid to skip through this graveyard all by yourself?" And she said, "No, sir, because I know my home is right on the other side." One day you and I are going to go into that graveyard. It's a lot easier going into the graveyard if you know, I know Jesus Christ, my sins are forgiven, I got a home right on the other side. Simeon was ready to die. Do you know Christ? Are you ready to die if this should run out tonight? Look at verse 30. Simeon says, "For mine eyes, Lord, have seen your salvation." Next lesson, Simeon believed in salvation. There's a story that many years ago there was an Indian chief who converted to Christianity. Some of the other Indian chiefs were concerned and met with him. And they said, "What does this mean now that you're saved?" And the story goes that the Indian chief took some dry wood chips and put them on the ground in a circle. And then he took a worm and put a worm in the middle of the circle. And he lit the wood chips on fire. And the chiefs watch as this worm goes this way and gets driven back in the middle, goes that way, gets driven back in the middle. And after a while, the chief converted, took his hand and took the worm up safely and put it to the side. And he said, "That's what saved means. I am the worm. I was lost in my sin. I couldn't get out. And our great chief, Jesus Christ, came down from heaven, died for our sins, rose from the dead, and pulled us out of the fire." Simeon believed in salvation. "Mine eyes have seen your salvation." Verse 32. And Simeon says, "This Jesus is a light of revelation to the Gentiles," that's non-Jews, "and he is the glory of thy people Israel," the Jews. Here's the next lesson. Jesus is for all people, Jew and Gentile. Way back in 1986, the space shuttle blew up. There was a memorial service for the astronauts on television. The Presbyterian pastor gets up to do the prayer, and he prays, "O thou whom we call by many different names, and to whom we come by many different roads." In other words, Jesus will work, Buddha will work, Muhammad will work. And I think Simeon would say, "No, you don't, Presbyterian pastor. Jesus is for everybody. He's the only way to be saved, whether you're Jew, Hindu, Buddhist, whatever." Verse 33, "And his father and mother, Mary and Joseph, were amazed at the things which were being said about him," Jesus. "And Simeon blessed them and said to Mary, his mother, 'Behold, this child is appointed for the fall and rise of many in Israel, and for a sign to be opposed. And a sword will pierce even your own soul, talking to Mary, to the end that many thoughts from many hearts will be revealed. Here's the next lesson. Simeon spoke for God. Simeon is prophesying here. Joseph and Mary, this baby, many will rise on him and be saved and fall because of him and be damned. But and Mary, you're going to feel hurt when you see what they do to your son on the cross. He's prophesying him. He spoke for God. So let me ask you this. Do people say of you, there's a man or there's a woman who speaks for God? I thought on this. God has been good to me. I have had wonderful Christian pastors in my life who have spoken the word of God to me since I was little. I also can tell you some pastors and even Lutheran bishops who have spoken for the devil. But God has given me good pastors who have spoken the word of the Lord. Do people say that of you? My grandpa, my dad, they're men of God. They speak for the Lord. All right, let's turn from Simeon now and look at an old woman named Anna who comes to the temple. Look at verse 36. And there was a prophetess, Anna, the daughter of Phanuel, of the tribe of Asher. Here's the next lesson. Anna was a prophetess. In other words, we need to be open to hearing the word of God from an old lady that maybe God has put in your life. I have been a pastor 43 years. I'm an old guy. But I remember the day I was ordained 43 years ago. They had a worship service and I got ordained. After the service, a lady that I didn't know came up and handed me a piece of paper. And on the piece of paper was a prophecy. And she prophesied what my ministry would be like. Boy, was she right. But we need to be open to hearing the word of God through prophets and prophetesses because God can speak that way. Verse 38, Luke 2:36. And she was advanced in years, having lived with the husband 7 years after her virginity. Here's the next lesson. Be a virgin till you're married. The norm in ancient Israel was you were a virgin till you got married. I think, kind of, that was the norm in America until 1960. And now things have gone bonkers. But I have to say this. If you are a follower of Christ and you're single, God expects you to abstain from sex. And if you've blown it, God expects you to repent, get whatever help you need to walk the straight and narrow, and abstain from sex. If you're widowed or you're divorced, God expects you as a single Christian to abstain from sex. Verse 37. And she was a widow to the age of 84, and she never left the temple serving night and day. Here's the next lesson. God uses old widows. You remember the old widow that put the 2 copper coins into the offering, and God used, Jesus used that woman to teach the disciples that's the way we should give. She's given more than anybody. God uses old widows. I have learned through the years, if you want God to do something in your church, get the white-haired ladies of the church praying for it. Verse 37, and she never left the temple. Here's the next lesson. Be in church a lot. I read that and I thought of Dee from my church here. I mean, Dee died at age 91. She was always in church, going to worship services, Bible studies, serving in the kitchen, helping out with her women's circle group. I mean, Dee was always in church. Use your golden years to serve the Lord in church. Be in church a lot. You know, maybe your New Year's resolution should be, God, this year, I'm going to be in church every single week. Don't be a hit and miss Christian. You know, there was a church that had a sign in front that said, yes, we are open between Christmas and Easter. Don't be a Christmas and Easter Christian. Maybe your New Year's resolution, and I think it will change your life. If you find a good biblical church and go every week, find one and see what happens in your life. It'll change you. Verse 37, It says she served night and day with fastings and prayers. There's the next lesson. Pray and fast regularly. Do you pray regularly? I hope you pray every day. But do you fast? Remember, Jesus didn't say if you fast. He said when you fast. So pray regularly and fast. That's what Anna teaches us in verse 38. And when they, Mary and Joseph, had performed everything according to the law of the Lord for the baby Jesus, they returned to Galilee to their own city. And now we're back in verse 38, excuse me. And at that very moment, when Jesus was in the temple, baby Jesus, Anna came up and began giving thanks to God. And she continued to speak of Jesus to all who were looking for the redemption of Jerusalem. Here's the next lesson. Anna talked to people about redemption. You know what redemption means? It means to pay a price to set a slave free. Jesus is our redeemer. He paid our sin price on the cross. He paid for our sins, took our punishment so that we could be forgiven and set free. Anna spoke to people about redemption. And if I can just share an old memory, I went for a little while to the University of Texas in Austin when I was in college. I rented a room in an apartment house. The lady that owned the apartment house found out I was a believer, and she invited me to her house to have dinner with her family. Now, she was a believing Christian. And I remember we're sitting around the table, and she said, "Young man, can I tell you how my family got saved?" Now, this is down in Texas, and she says, "My grandpa was a horse thief. He and his men roamed in tents stealing horses. The rule of the clan was, you cannot leave our group or you'll be shot." But she said, and she got tears in her eyes, "Then my grandpa heard the word of the Lord. And he said, 'Men, I'm leaving camp tonight. You can kill me if you must, but I'm leaving.'" She said he got up and left. Nobody raised a finger. And she said, "My grandpa went on to become a preacher of the gospel of Jesus Christ." And she said, "That's when my family got saved." And you could tell she loved to tell that story. You know, Anna loved to talk to people about redemption. Simeon talked to Mary and Joseph about the coming redemption. And I think if Anna and Simeon were to sing one song, they would sing, "I love to tell the story of unseen things above, of Jesus and his glory, of Jesus and his love. I love to tell the story because I know 'tis true. It satisfies my longings as nothing else can do. I love to tell the story. 'Twill be my theme in glory to tell the old, old story of Jesus and his love." That's what Anna was about. That's what Simeon was about. Let me conclude. You and I only have so much of this left, Toto. How are you going to spend your remaining minutes? Men, be a Simeon. Center your life on the Savior. Talk to people about God. Women, be an Anna. Pray and fast. Talk to people about redemption. Because we've only got so much of this left, and you don't want to waste it. And I'm going to close by reading a poem that I found. "This frail old shell in which I dwell is growing old, I know full well, but I am not the shell. What if my hair is turning gray? Gray hairs are honorable, they say. What if my eyesight's growing dim? I still can see to follow him who sacrificed his life for me upon the cross of Calvary. Why should I care if time's old plow has left its furrows in my brow? Another house, not made with hand, awaits me in the glory land. My hearing may not be as keen as in the past it may have been. Still I can hear my Savior say, 'Like Anna, serve me all the way.'" May you do that this year. May I do that this year. And if you're not a regular church attender, make that your New Year's resolution. Amen. Well, again, Happy New Year, everybody. And I thought we should introduce our volunteer crew. The pastor study is run totally by volunteers. I'm the only one who wasn't a volunteer, but everybody that is part of this ministry, it's unpaid volunteers, so we can send our money to get this TV show paid on the air. So I want to introduce people. This is Mike. Mike, tell people what you do for our ministry.
I do the graphics for the show, and I run one of the cameras.
Okay. And this guy is Fred. Fred, what do you do?
I am the director.
And
I keep Tom in line.
You do. And who is this young woman? Is she your wife?
This is the ex-star of the show.
Everybody remembers Jackie. Jackie did our show for
too long.
But Jackie's doing well, and she was our question and answer lady for, I think, 30 years.
30 years.
Something like that. And then, so thank you, Jackie, for all that work. And this is
Mona.
And what do you do?
I run the cameras, and I also help you with the portion of the show, question and answers.
That's right. And who is this young man to your right?
I'm Greg. I'm married to Mona.
Yes.
And I work in the control room, and I help with show distribution.
And you're just seeing some of the volunteers. We have three volunteers that do our finances. Mm-hmm. We have four volunteers that are on the board. We've got a volunteer people that we have a monthly prayer meeting. They come and they pray for our ministry. We have an email prayer team that prays for us via email. We have people that help answer the phones and people that do the editing and people that put us on pastorstudy.org and run the website. So God has been good to us, because I don't know how to do any of this technical stuff, but God keeps bringing the volunteers for, 30 plus years to do this show. So thanks all to our volunteers, and
you're welcome.
We'll come back with our Q&A.
Welcome to the portion of the Pastor Study where we ask Pastor Brock questions regarding the Bible. Pastor Brock, our first question comes from an older viewer. And she wants to know, I was born with poor eyesight and bullied in school, plus more issues. How could I have been created in God's image?
Well, we're all created in God's image. And then Adam and Eve fell, and the image of God in us got all messed up by sin. But we're still in the image of God. And we know that because God says in Genesis that if you kill someone, you will be killed, because you're killing the image of God, you mm-hmm. know. And so even messed up, hurting physically, spiritually, emotionally, we're still in God's image. The image has been tainted. And then there's the verse from Exodus 4 that you reminded me of. Moses is told by God at the burning bush, who makes man deaf, dumb, seeing, or blind? Mm-hmm. Is it not I, the Lord? So even blind people, all those, everyone, and you brought up your nephew or someone who was
my uncle
who was born with Down syndrome. Mm-hmm. That uncle is still in the image of God. What is tragic, Mona, you don't see Down syndrome people much anymore. Why? Because we kill them in our abortion clinics. That Down syndrome person is in the image of God, and we do not kill mm-hmm. human beings. Mm-hmm. There you go.
Amen.
Yeah.
Another question. I shop at my Kroger Foods, which is now going to pay travel expenses for their employees' abortions. Is it a sin for me to shop there? I feel it is. I don't drive, and I can walk to Kroger, so if you say it's not right with God, I will stop shopping there. I feel in my heart I shouldn't shop there, and all the other stores with the same policy.
Yes. This last year, Roe versus Wade, hallelujah, fell, mm-hmm. and now we've got companies like Uber and Kroger, and I'll mention the other ones, Apple, Yelp, Disney, Netflix, Bumble, Comcast, NBC, Universal, Warner Brothers, Discovery, Condacast, which is a travel thing, JP Morgan Chase, Nike, and other groups now, they're standing up for abortion. They're going to fund or do similar things. They're going to somehow fund and make it easy to do abortions. Mm-hmm. Should you shop at those places? First of all, I say to this woman, God bless you for even asking the question.
Mm-hmm.
And I would say, you know, if Disney is going to do what it does, avoid it mm-hmm. if you can. And she says, and you know, is it a sin to shop at a grocery store that is doing this kind of thing? I think if you've got an option, go for it. Mm-hmm. That's my opinion.
And obviously the Lord placed this on her heart.
It did. Yeah, he did. Yeah. There
okay.
you go. Yeah.
Is it a sin to sleep naked or to be a nudist?
I have never gotten that question before until that viewer wrote it in. I don't think it's a sin to sleep naked. I don't think it's a sin if you're married to sleep naked with your spouse.
Mm-hmm.
If, however, you sleeping naked for some reason leads you into temptation, then put on underwear or something, pajamas or something. So, you know, I don't think there's nothing in the Bible that says it's a sin to sleep naked. But if for some reason you know that kind of sets you up for sexual whatever, I'd put on pajamas. Is it a sin to be a nudist? I don't think it's a good idea to go to a nudist colony, because
mm-hmm.
I think you're either going to stumble by seeing things you don't need to stumble with, or you're going to cause somebody else to stumble. Mm-hmm. So I would definitely avoid that. Yeah.
Okay.
But that's an interesting question.
That is.
Next.
How do I fast? Do I abstain from food and water? And how long should we fast?
Well, Jesus fasted for 40 days and 40 nights in the desert when he was being tempted by the devil.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to recommend that to people because they might die. But here's what fasting means you take a certain amount of time and say, Lord, I'm not going to eat for 24 hours, we'll say, or mm-hmm. 2 days or whatever, or I'm just not going to have lunch today, and I'm going to take that time to spend with you. It's totally up to you how long you do it. One way to start, if you've never done it, is to say, Lord, I'm going to drink water. I would drink water. Mm-hmm. But for 24 hours, I'm not going to eat. And when I have done that, I have a lot more time on my hands.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not thinking about my next Twinkie, you know. And I'm able to just more, and I'm more energetic. Mm-hmm. When I don't eat a lot, I'm more energetic.
Mm-hmm.
So that, I know, I have a friend who for years, one day a week, he fasts.
Mm-hmm.
And I need to get back more into this because it's been quite a while since I've fasted. But mm-hmm. Anna prayed and fasted.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
How can I distinguish the voice of the Holy Spirit from my own thoughts?
That's a hard question. How do you know if something, let's say you have a strong thought coming to my mind.
Mm-hmm.
Is that the Lord or is that me? That's a hard one. Scriptures, if it contradicts Scripture, it's not from the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
And Mona, we got 23 seconds, so that's about the best we can do on that one today. But everybody, we want to thank you for tuning in today. Happy New Year again. And
Happy New Year. And remember, Hebrews 13:8, Jesus Christ did the same yesterday, today, and forever. Thank you for joining us today on The Pastor Study.
Thank you for watching The Pastor Study. You can watch more of our programs at pastorstudy.org. We are on the air preaching the good news of Jesus Christ because of the generous support of you, our viewers. Would you consider supporting our ministry? You may do so at pastorstudy.org or write The Pastor Study, P.O. Box 41294, Minneapolis, Minnesota 55441. May the blessing of our one triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit be with you now and forever.